The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house to worship. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him this morning. People said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful way to begin our time of worship this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this first Sunday in March, but I know it feels like it's the first Sunday in December and January. Amen. I know I was a little shocked this morning when I stepped outside and felt the coolness of the air this morning, but it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day, and may the majesty of our God make Himself present in worship this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us today, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. If you can, fill out a visitor's card. It's located in the pew in front of you, and you can drop it off in the offering plates in the foyer as you leave worship later on today. For those that are watching us this morning online on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online this morning. I encourage you, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for today's worship service, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time viewer online this morning, I encourage you to send me an email this week and let me follow up with you and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. If you look at your worship bulletin this morning, you'll notice a couple things that are going on this afternoon and later on this week. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will be starting our new Lenten Bible study. You heard me talk about it just a couple weeks ago. Is titled Seven Words, and in this study, each week leading up to Holy Week during the season of Lent, we'll be looking at the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And today at 4 o'clock, we'll be meeting upstairs in the fellowship hall for session one, and we'll be looking at the words Jesus first spoke, Father, forgive them. So if you can, join me this afternoon at 4 o'clock upstairs for the beginning of our Bible study. Of course, it will also be streamed on Facebook Live if you can't attend in person. But I encourage you, if you can, join us. It's always better in-person discussion. Always is a lot better than online discussion. And if you can't join us in person, of course, you can always go back at any time to our Facebook page and watch the sessions of this study. Youth and children will also meet tonight at 5 o'clock following the adult Bible study tonight as well. If you look at the week ahead coming up, Tuesday, obviously, Tuesday morning is our senior adult breakfast, 9 a.m. at Carver's. Tuesday afternoon, we have our bingo and birthday ministry, ministry that takes place at the Golden Year Senior Center. That's at 1:30 p.m. If you can help with that, speak to Sandy French or Kramer Hughes. Just let them know that you're planning on coming and helping with that ministry on Tuesday. And Tuesday night, handbells practice is back. That'll be at 5:45. And then our worship choir will be practicing on Wednesday night at 6:30. Now, you will notice in your bulletin, don't forget that next Saturday to turn your clocks forward. You know, we lose an hour. I know we all dread the spring forward time, but that's what happens on Saturday. So I do not want to see anybody showing up an hour late for worship next Sunday. You show up at noon, you're going to miss the entire service. So I want to make sure you go ahead and mark your calendars to bump the clocks early next Saturday. Part of the reason, we want you to show up on time, but we have lots of things going on next Sunday as well. Ministry teams, reminder, church council will be next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, so make sure you're there. Of course, our adult Bible study will continue next week as well. You'll notice in your bulletin it talks about our senior adult luncheon. It had to get postponed from February because of the weather, because of health and sickness going around. But that senior adult luncheon is now scheduled for Tuesday, March 18th. And many of you signed up for the luncheon in February, but there is a new sign-up sheet. So if you signed up for February, please go ahead and sign up again for the date in March. They just want to make sure they have enough food and everybody's still planning on coming. So there are sign-up sheets in the foyer and the Sunday school classrooms. Make sure you sign up anywhere that you see one of those sign-up sheets. And you've got a couple more weeks to sign up for that. And finally, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Last week was our Share the Love offering for our international missionaries. We raised over the last couple weeks $1,800 to send off to the missionaries that we support. That'll be going to the Fushis in Japan and the brokers in Norway. So thank you again for your prayers. Thank you for your donations for this love offering. We'll be sending those off in just the next week or two to those missionary families. We gather here today to lift praise to the one who has called you here, who's called each one of us here. So let's lift praise to him this morning.
Let's come glorify Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, as we sing Majesty. Let's stand.
Worship is majesty.
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 99. Listen to these words. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord, our God, is holy. Our God is holy. That's why we gather here to worship him this day. And we can proclaim that not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday as well. Let us pray this morning. God of glory and power, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us this day. Reveal to us your wisdom and your guidance. Manifest through us your spirit of glorious grace and love. May we experience your holiness this day. Make your loving presence known to all through the ministries of your church. We lift this prayer in the name of the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You know, I think about a couple weeks ago when David wasn't here, and I had to come up with something to say. And we sang Blessed Assurance that Sunday, and I talked about what is your story. And then that just kept pressing on my mind this whole week. And I Love to Tell the Story came up to go along with what David is preaching about this Sunday. And it talks about how faithful God is in this song. So think about that as we sing this. How faithful is God in your life right now as we tell the story? Let's stand and sing, I Love to Tell the Story.
Thank you.
for the month of March, our missions in gathering focuses on our food pantry here at First Baptist. As many of you know, as the prices of groceries gradually increase, the need by many in our community has also increased. And while our food pantry is not a large by any means in comparison, we still try to meet the needs of others who, when called upon, when they contact the church. We actually gave a couple boxes away even this past week. If you are able, when you have the opportunity to go to the grocery store over the next couple weeks, please pick up some of the items that you see listed on your bulletin and in the March newsletter during the month of March as we seek to restock our pantry that is running pretty low currently. Items that are needed listed on your bulletin are things like cereal, peanut butter, canned meat, macaroni and cheese, canned vegetables, pasta, sauce, rice, and all these things are what we try to put in a box for families who are in need. So if you can pick some of those items up, we greatly appreciate it. Of course, when you bring them to church, either on Sunday or during the week, you can just, if you come bring it during the week, just ring the doorbell and we'll come and actually take it out of the car for you if you need us to. But if you come on Sundays, there are collection bins at the end of the hallway in the communication center. There's also a collection bin upstairs in the fellowship hall that can be dropped off there. And then we'll assemble, our mission team will assemble those boxes to be ready to go when we get contacted. But again, thank you in advance for your generosity as we seek to meet those needs in our community during this time of year. At this time, I'll call on Deacon April Riley for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we've come to worship you this morning and to express our gratitude for your abundant blessings. As David expressed in Psalms, you open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. Because of your goodness and mercies, we thank you. We stand in awe of you and praise your name. May our tithes and offerings be a testament of our gratitude. We give not because you need it, but as an act of worship to help and bless others in your work here on earth. May our presence here this morning be enriched and our hearts encouraged as we worship together. May we listen for your still, small voice speaking to us within the quiet spaces of this hour, comforting, guiding, calling. Grant us courage, a faith that endures, and the sure knowledge that you are with us in our journey, now and always. Amen.
Yeah.
choir for our special music today. If you would you once again go with me in prayer as we prepare to encounter God's word this morning? Let's pray. Gracious God, we tremble in the presence of your glory and power. Strengthen our courage that we might look upon your love and stop shrinking away in fear. Embolden us to trust your grace, no matter how grave our transgressions or ashamed our hearts may be. Shine upon us with your mercy so that we can share that same mercy with those that are hurting around the world, like those that are still recovering in Western North Carolina from the hurricanes, those that are recovering from wildfires out in California and even today in the state of North Carolina and South Carolina, for those that are in war-torn countries facing atrocities that are so great that it's hard to describe, like those in the Ukraine. Father, may we show the grace and the mercy to all those who are hurting, just as you have shown us the grace and mercy when we too hurt. Shine upon us with your mercy, and may we shine that same mercy on all that we see. Grant us confidence in both your grace and your abundant love, not just this day, but every day. We lift this prayer in your loving name. Amen. Thank you again for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon on this first Sunday in March. And be honest with me. Raise your hand if you knew that today was Transfiguration Sunday. You saw it on the bulletin? You saw it on Facebook when I posted it up yesterday, right? Or somebody else posted it up? Yeah, not many realize that, but today is Transfiguration Sunday, and that is where our sermon scripture today will draw us in the Gospel of Luke to that passage. Now, as many of you know, my home with Jennifer and our two sons, Samuel and Luke, are both here with us today. One's home from college on spring break. As many of you know, that our house is a Star Wars house. A lot of times, you know, you have boys that grow up in your house, or growing up a couple years ago, you were either a Star Trek house or a Star Wars house. Our house is a Star Wars house. We're not a Star Trek house. And when I say that we are a Star Wars house, that literally means we have seen everything Star Wars. All the movies, all the series, all everything that is Star Wars related. We have Star Wars t-shirts. We have Star Wars clothes. I think I actually have a Star Wars tie, and I was looking for it last night because I was going to wear it today, but I couldn't find it. It's somewhere out in the galaxy, some far, far away. When we visit Disney World on a regular basis, a place that we all love to go is a little land called the Star Wars Land in Hollywood Studios. It's literally like you step out into the galaxy of a planet that is found in Star Wars. It's incredible. But anyway, we're a Star Wars family. When the re-release of the Star Wars movies took place in the late 90s and early 2000s, it created quite a stir across the world, across the country. When they were first released in the 1970s, which was right around the time I was born, and the early 1980s, moviegoers who went to see them were amazed and shocked by the special effects, something that they'd never seen before on the big screen. Characters like C-3PO and R2-D2 grabbed their attention, and everybody just fell in love with the drama that was found in these movies. But there was more to these movies than just the special effects. They also had a story, a theme that captured people's imaginations. Now, over the years, the technology has changed, and now the new series that come out, the new movies that come out, are more like what the Star Wars creator George Lucas had hoped to do when he first filmed that first movie, A New Hope, back in the 70s. Now, the special effects are 100 times better now, and the story and the theme are just as captivating as was 40 or 50 years ago. Now, you might be thinking, why in the world is David talking a lot about Star Wars on Transfiguration Sunday? When it comes to special effects and wonderful displays of power and glory, everything that humanity can do and try to do when it comes to special effects and things like that takes a back seat to what God did at the Transfiguration. When we think of the greatest thing that we have ever seen with our own eyes, whether it's on the movie screen or in real life, a real life person in our real eyes, it takes a back seat to the Transfiguration. So when we read this scripture passage, I want you to be captivated by what we're reading. It would be the greatest thing that you had ever seen. And that's what Luke tries to capture in his scripture passage today. And in it, we see the power and the majesty and the glory of God. Yet, at the same time, it teaches us something about the intimacy of God's desired relationship with each of us. So while we see the vastness and the greatness of the divinity of Jesus, what we also can see is that his desired close relationship with us in the same thing. So that's why on this Transfiguration Sunday, I've titled my sermon, Mountain or Valley. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. The words will be on the worship screens behind me as well. There's pew Bibles there in your pew as well. The occurrence of the Transfiguration occurs early towards the middle of Jesus' ministry. So we can only imagine what it must have been like for Peter, James, and John to be on that mountaintop to see Jesus changed before their very eyes as he stood there talking with Moses and Elijah. This scene is far more powerful and spectacular than any special effect you'll ever see on a movie screen. So let's read Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36 this morning. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and they went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. Even more important than the visual effects which Peter, James, and John saw on the mountaintop that day is the message that God was trying to communicate to those disciples about Jesus and communicates to us still today. And I think there's 3 things that we can draw from this text this morning and from the Transfiguration. And I want to identify those 3 out front from the very beginning of my sermon today. So, Sam, if you'll pull those points up for me. The first thing that I think we need to understand about the Transfiguration is this. The Transfiguration is a testimony of who Jesus is.
It is a testimony of who this man, this Son of God, who Peter, James, and John and the other disciples decided to follow, who Jesus is. You know, they still had questions, and we still may have questions, but this occurrence answered a lot of questions for Peter, James, and John, and I hope it answers something for us. God's voice calls out from the cloud that surrounded them on top of the mountain, saying, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." If we remember, God said something very similar at Jesus' baptism. This was reassurance to the disciples that Jesus was the Son of God, whom God loved and whom God sent. And that's from the very outset what God wanted Peter, James, and John to know, that this is the Son of God. And if we don't start anywhere else than right there, we have to know that piece of evidence, that piece of information about Jesus, that he is the Son of God and that he is God. And we're going to get to that in just a second. The second piece of information that we can draw from the Transfiguration is this, that it tells us of the preparation of where Jesus is going, and that is specifically to Jesus' death. Luke tells us that Moses and Elijah appear, and they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. They spoke about where Jesus was about to go. Now, this sets the stage for what will happen in the days and the years ahead as Jesus begins his walk toward the cross at Jerusalem. That little piece of evidence is often overlooked in the Transfiguration. But what Elijah and Moses were preparing Jesus for at the Transfiguration is about where he was going. He knew where he was being led to, but Moses and Elijah were basically kind of giving Jesus a pep talk. Have you ever done something or were called to do something that you really didn't want to do? We've all been there, right? We've all been there. We've all been in a situation where we've been called to do something we know we have to do, and Jesus knew what he had to do, but isn't it great when we have somebody right beside us and they're saying, "You can do this. I'm right here with you. It's okay. You're prepared. You're ready." And that's what Moses and Elijah at the Transfiguration were doing. They were right there with him saying, "You've got this. You've got this. You're not alone. God sent you here. You're the Son of God. You're ready." And that's what we see at the Transfiguration. But that's not all. The third thing that we see at the Transfiguration is it gives us a glimpse of Jesus' eternal glory. We are told, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Now, Jesus was transfigured on the top of that mountain right in front of Peter, James, and John, and they could hardly look at him. He was so bright. Ever try staring at lightning? Ever side standing out and seeing a storm outside? It's pretty bright, right? One of those lightning bolts that just lights up the sky. It makes us squint and makes us close our eyes, but then we want to even look even harder, right? You ever been that? You're like, "Wow, that was incredible. Let me see if I can look again." And that's what Peter, James, and John saw. What they witnessed on top of that mountain that day was a miracle. It was a miracle. And they just wanted to see more. And that's the power of this story. This miracle of Moses and Elijah appearing on the mountaintop and Jesus being transfigured was a testimony to the fact that Jesus was truly the Son of God, just as most of the miracles that Jesus performed were used to convince others of his divine authority. The account of the Transfiguration is perhaps one of the greatest of God's miracles, and we can learn a great deal from it. However, today it is all too common for people to say or dismiss or explain away miracles. They don't happen anymore. We just don't see them anymore. There are those out there who insist that any modern, intelligent individual or Christian has to give up the notion that Jesus healed 10 lepers with the power of his word, that he fed thousands of people out of one single lunchbox, that he stopped the storms on a raging sea. Miracles happen just as surely as you and I gather in this place today. Miracles happen just as surely as one day Jesus Christ will come again. We see them, but we try to explain them through some other detail. They're present. They happen. But God creates them just as they did through Jesus. Now, I will admit it takes a lot of faith to believe in the miracles of the Bible and to believe in the miracles of today. It's a lot easier to think that these miracles never really happened than it is to have the faith that it takes to believe in them. It requires a lot of faith to believe in the miracles of the Bible, like the Transfiguration. I remember in college, when I was at UNC Wilmington, I had a dorm mate who lumbered in one night after an evening of drinking. He was quite intoxicated, I'll be quite honest with you, and he began questioning me about my faith in God. It's always a lot of fun to talk about God to someone who is intoxicated, right? You never know when the conversation is going to go. Well, he came into my room that night, and we had a very interesting conversation. And I'll be the first thing, I don't know if you remember the conversation at all. I remember it. He didn't. I don't know. But anyway, he asked me a lot of questions that night about my faith. And I was like, well, this is an open book. I can share anything. He may not remember, but he might. He had questions about Jesus. He asked questions about how to live one's life faithfully. He asked questions specifically about miracles. And I remember, and like I said, I don't know if he remembered it, but I remember him saying this specific thing. He said, I wish I had the faith to believe something like that. Listen to those words. I wish I had the faith to believe something like that. It requires a lot of faith to believe the miracles of the Bible. It requires a lot of faith. So I ask you today, do you have the faith to believe in it? The story of the Transfiguration is a miracle that describes to us what we sometimes call mountaintop experiences of life. We have all had mountaintop experiences where we have felt like we were on top of the world, and then, if we bring faith into it, and in the presence of God in those moments. Perhaps you had a mountaintop experience when your child was born, when you got married, or when you received a special blessing or a healing from God. Maybe your mountaintop experience occurred as you sat quietly in worship or in prayer with God. Or maybe you remember an experience in your life when God brought you to the mountaintop and you felt God was so close to you that you could just reach out and felt you could touch his hand. Mountaintop experiences. We remember those experiences. We remember those mountaintop experiences. We remember Martin Luther King Jr. described to us in a famous sermon he preached on April 3rd, 1968 in Memphis, Tennessee. The sermon was titled, I See the Promised Land. Martin Luther King Jr. said that he did not worry about anything because he had been to the mountaintop with God. He said he had no fear, for my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The next day, Martin Luther King Jr. was shot to death. He was assassinated. But that night before that he preached, Dr. King was ready to face his destiny. He was ready to face the future because he had been to the mountaintop. He had a mountaintop experience with the Lord. That is what mountaintop experiences in our life are all about. Mountaintop experiences help us to get ready for the tomorrows. They help us get ready for when we're not on the mountaintop anymore. They help us to face the future in hope and assurance that God is there with us. Mountaintop experiences prepare us for the valleys in our lives. We're able to make it through the valley in our lives because, like Dr. King says, we have been to the mountaintop with God. When we are in the valley of joblessness, or loneliness, or sickness, or even in the valley of depression, whatever the darkness of valleys that we might be in, the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, for the Lord is with us. That is what Peter, James, and John experienced that day on top of the mountain. God was with them. God is with us. We need to remember our mountaintop experiences and remember that just as God was with us on top of the mountain, God is with us in the valley of our lives too. Mountaintop experiences are beautiful, but there is also a danger in those experiences as well. It is a danger that Peter faced and Peter actually echoed in this story. It is a danger that we all face when we're up there. You see, Peter was so enthralled with the mountaintop that he wanted to stay there. He wanted to pitch a tent and stay there forever and revel in it. Remember Peter's words to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. So let's build 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll just stay here for the rest of the time. Let's stay on the mountain." Peter did not want to come down from the mountain into the valley of life. He did not want that glorious event to end. And we can be like Peter. We don't want it to end either. He wanted to stay right there and bask in it. But the danger with mountaintop experiences is they are so wonderful and so revealing that we do not want them to come to an end. Many people try to live out their life on top of the mountain. But life is not lived on the mountain. It is lived in the valleys below as well. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John came down from the mountain, they found people who were hurting. They found people who were in need. They came back to the reality of everyday life. And as I read this story, I could not help but wonder how John and James felt and what they saw in the situation on the mountaintop. You see, Peter does all the talking in the story, but we don't hear what John and James, what they were experiencing. We don't hear his words. Sometimes the way we view a situation determines how we experience it. Peter saw the wonder of the situation. However, we are told that they were afraid when that cloud came over them and they heard the voice of God. I have a feeling that John and James were probably like you and me if we were there in that situation. They were probably so ready to run down that mountain as fast as they could. As soon as that cloud came over top of them, they were ready to put their tennis shoes on and let's go. That's probably how I would have responded. My guess is probably most of us would have as well. We don't know. We all respond differently when we're on top of the mountain and we know what's about to happen. We all see things differently. I heard a story a couple years back about how people see things differently. It seems as though there was a wolf pack that was causing havoc in the sheep-raising part of Nevada. So bad was the scourge and so elusive were these wolves that a bounty of $1,000 was offered for every captured wolf. This offer turned 2 brothers, Sam and Jed, into fortune hunters. Day and night they scoured the mountains of Nevada and forests looking for these wolves. But the wolves eluded them. Exhausted one night, they both fell into a deep sleep and did not even notice when their fire flickered out. Suddenly, Sam awoke one night and the sight of 50 wolves with flaming eyes and barren teeth that had surrounded them at their camp. Sam shook his brother Jed awake and shouted, "Jed, wake up quick. We're rich." Sam was like Peter. He saw a great opportunity in the situation. He was on the mountaintop. Jed, on the other hand, saw it a different way. When Jed woke up and he saw what was going on, his simple response was, "Uh-oh." He was probably like James and John. Today, we hear the account of our Savior's transfiguration, and behold, with the eyes of faith, we see his face shining as bright as the sun. We can see his garments with whiter than all the bleach on earth could ever possibly make them. In knowing this, we come away from our worship service today better prepared to enter the season that we're about to enter in the Christian church. That is the season of Lent, a season of preparation for Resurrection Sunday, a season that starts out with Jesus walking into the valley of suffering and death on the cross, but a season that ends up on a mountaintop experience, the mountaintop of resurrection. And as we move from Epiphany to Lent, from the Mount of Transfiguration to eventually the Mount of Calvary, there is a thought which we should carry with us from Epiphany into Lent. Jesus suffered from the deepest and darkest of all valleys, the valley of crucifixion on the cross. And Jesus overcame that valley and he went up to the mountaintop. And we can too. And he will be with us every step of the way. Are you ready to join him on the mountain this Transfiguration Sunday? Or are you ready to prepare yourself to walk through the valley during the season of Lent, knowing where it leads? Because it leads to an empty tomb. And I hope you're ready for that celebration. Let's pray. Father, thank you for revealing your true nature and yourself to us through this story of the Transfiguration. Oh, Father, what it would have been so special to be there that day, to witness what Peter, James, and John saw. But what we do know is this, that we have those mountaintop experiences as well with you, but we don't reside there. We know that we come down into the valley. But may we recognize that you're right there with us as well. Whether we're on a mountaintop right now or a valley right now or somewhere in between, Father, may we feel you, may we know you, and may we embrace you, because that's who you are and that's what you came to reveal to us this day and every day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Maybe today as we sing our closing hymn, for the first time you recognize that Jesus has embraced you. And he is walking with you every step of the way. If you're ready to make a decision for him, I'll be down front and you can come and talk to me about it. Maybe during this time you recognize the need for a church family that seeks to embrace him during the mountaintops and valleys of life. First Baptist Elon can be that home for you. Let me share what it means to be a part of First Baptist Elon. Or maybe today you're struggling. Maybe you're in the valley of life and you're struggling to find him there. I'll pray with you. One of our deacons will come to pray with you. If you want to come up to the altar is his, it's not mine. Come and pray here and we'll pray with you if you so desire. Whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. Don't put it off as we stand and sing our closing hymn.
Today,
I hope you'll come out and join me this afternoon at 4 o'clock for our adult Bible study as we begin this new way, as we enter into the season of Lent. But as you go, remember, whether you're on a mountain or whether you're on a valley, God is with you and He's walking with you every step of the way. Share that with whoever you encounter this week. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday as well. Go in peace.